Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 142 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, the summer sports are really heating up, and we'll be talking some softball later on with Ankeny Centennial coach Brett Delaney. We also have a special guest from Coldwell Banker coming on, but right now we're going to focus on the boys of summer with my first two guests. Leading off is the head coach of the Ankeny baseball team. He has guided the fourth-ranked Hawks to an 18-6 record, including a perfect 14-0 mark in the CIML Iowa Conference. He's Joe Balvans. Joe, how you doing?
Thanks for having me, Dan. I'm doing good.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on an outstanding season thus far. You know, it's hard to believe that you guys were actually 3-5 at one point because you're really rolling now. You've won 15 of your last 16 games. You know, you got to be really happy with the way the guys are playing right now.
Yes, we're playing really well. And you mentioned that 3-5 to start the year. We opened with Urbandale, really good team, with the Langenberg kid on the mound. And then we lost the game with Sadell there. So we knew that Pleasant Valley coming over was probably a top five team themselves. I have a lot of respect for their coach. And we said, hey, let's make it a doubleheader and see what it goes. And we turned around, and Mason City's got a nice team and took two up there, and then, you know, lost two tough ones at Dowling. So that's not a typical start for a high school team. We had guys at track, we'd had guys at tennis. Maybe took us, I don't know, those first 2 weeks to kind of get rolling. But right now, we are playing well in all three facets of the game. We're pitching it, picking it, and swinging the bats, as you saw last night, at a pretty high level.
Oh, for sure. Well, your team has swept all seven of its conference doubleheaders, including last night's twin bill up there at Fort Dodge. I was up there for that one, and you guys, you know, really had an impressive night at the plate in the opener. You had pounded out 16 hits, including six doubles and four home runs. You went on to win that one 19-8 in six innings. And then the nightcap, you had 12 more hits, five of them for extra bases, and a 9-0 win. You know, this lineup is just solid from top to bottom, isn't it?
It is. It's one of the deepest lineups. I mean, I look back to 12, and I wasn't here for the Lanning and the Girosh lineup. But, I that 12 where we had Lanning and McKinney and Matt Johnson and Brent Jones and even Garrett Fort was kind of got moved around a little bit. Really good lineup. This lineup, I think, is right there with them. The first three coming out of the chute with Bauer, Brecht, and Falk, and Ryan Crandall. He was given an opportunity. We needed somebody to step up, and he has taken that opportunity and run with it all the way to the four hole. Really proud of him. You saw that swing he put on, couple swings he put on the ball last night, driving the ball to all fields. He's just an athlete. He's a gamer. He has made us much tougher than I originally anticipated. And you know, with Weston swinging the bat like that, having a kid like that in the four hole, you can't really pitch around Weston because you got a dude hitting over 400 with a couple bombs in the four hole. That makes it tough. And you get down, and the seasons that Colin Riggs and Cade Summers has had as seniors. And, then you go Tamden Carter, who's battling a little bit of an injury bug there, but he's tough as nails. And Boyd at the bottom. And I tell those guys down there at 7, 8, 9, I go, these boys at the top are gonna drive in runs. And that's what happens. And you saw that in the middle of that first game when those guys got on base and top comes back around and Jace blows one the other way and Weston runs into another one and Brody hits a double off the wall. It doesn't even look like he swings at all. It's fun. It's just fun to watch. We don't steal as many bases as we used to because we usually stand on second base.
Yeah, you don't need to. Well, yeah, you talked about how you can't pitch around Weston. We can't pitch around anybody really in your lineup. I mean, you have guys down there at the 8 and 9 holes that would be a 1, 2, or 3 hitter for a lot of teams.
Yeah. I'm really proud of all those guys. Like, we work all the time on the ability to go the other way, to not necessarily hit the ball where it's pitched. Like, if we're staying away, we just don't yank it, right? Hit a ball hard. When you hit a ball hard, good things happen. And that's been our mindset. And they're not all the same type of hitter. They each have their individual strengths. And I guess I'm really proud of how that group has gelled. I think that lineup last night is my best lineup or our best lineup that we've put out there all summer so far. I really like the balance and how that just kind of fell in there with Riggsy ahead of Summers, with Tamden followed by Carter and the usuals at the top. I feel pretty comfortable with that moving forward. I don't know how much more I'm going to monkey with it.
Well, yeah, it's taking a little while to get to this point, but yeah, you seem to have found the right recipe. You have Jace Bauer hitting leadoff now, and he's batting over .500 with 34 RBIs. You know, he's just having a great season, isn't he?
Yeah, like I said, Jace is a five-tool guy. I know he's going to college to play quarterback, but he's getting all these guys coming around to watch Brody pitch. A lot of people ask me, hey, what's the deal with your shortstop? What's he going to do? And their ears perk up when I say, well, he's going to play QB at Central Michigan. Like, oh, he's QB? The scouts love that type of an athlete and things like that. Jace could play anywhere. Jace could play outfield. He could catch. He could pitch. I personally feel he's the best shortstop in the state. He makes some plays in the hole that some kids just watch roll into left field, and he picks it and flicks it like it's no big deal. And that's a testament to the work he's put in the weight room. But he's a high-character guy. And he leads our stretching before games, and he is the catalyst of what makes this go.
When you mentioned Weston earlier, you know, he's another senior who I think would be a draftable guy. He's already committed to go to Iowa as a pitcher, but he's just having an unbelievable season at the plate. He's currently batting .517 with 7 homers, 5 triples, 5 doubles, or 15 doubles, and 39 RBIs, which ranks 5th in the state. You know, all he did last night was hit 3 home runs and drive in 9 runs. You know, he's just been locked in at the plate all season, hasn't he?
And we put him in the 3-hole, and he hasn't looked back. It was just something we shuffled around one day, and he seems to enjoy it there, so we'll leave him there. He's having fun doing it, too. He just loves to play the game of baseball. He's always got a big smile on his face. And he himself, too, is a little dinged up. He's playing through an injury that you'd never know about, and doesn't seem to be bugging him too much, but just has a great approach at the plate. Another guy, when he was younger, used to look to yank, 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 and he himself has learned to, if I stay middle, 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 and you saw that first ball he hit out of the yard at Dodge, over that scoreboard out into the trees, that ball was hit a mile.
Yeah, he smoked it. Yep.
And then even those other two that hit the houses across the road. But even more impressive, like he hit a ball out the other way. I told you a southeast poke that was into the wind. I'm like, there's nobody, no high school kids getting a ball out of here today. And he is just strong. He has fast hands, but he is a big dude when he strolls the plate.
Well, in the second game last night, you guys also got another outstanding pitching performance from Brody. He allowed just one hit over the first 6 innings, and he finished with 14 strikeouts. So he's now 5-0 on the season with a 0.95 ERA. And he's got 61 strikeouts in just 29 in the third innings. You know, he was pretty much unhittable last night, wasn't he?
He was, and I know I watched your video today. I know he bumped to a slider because he wanted to show he could get it over the landing and on that mound a little bit. He was having trouble with his foot placement on that slider. So I said, hey, let's just go good morning, good afternoon, and good night, especially at the bottom part of this lineup, and keep your pitch count down. And at that point, I thought I was still going to have to trot him back out there. But, yeah, he was – electric as usual. That's a talent that we probably won't see around here in the community of Ankeny for a very, very long time. I mean, you think about, talk about Benj Sampson in the 90s, and I'm sure there was somebody I'm forgetting before then. And then we had a couple of strong arms in the early 2000s. Keaton McKinney, Andrew Hedrick. Boy, I don't know. They were good. I don't know if they were like that. I mean, Keaton could reach back and run it up there in the 92, 93, somewhere in there. I mean, Brecht reaches back and touches 97 when he wants to. And
right.
And that high 80s slider is something that the scouts really like. But, I'm so proud of him. He stayed so humble. To go out there and throw warm-up pitches, everywhere you go, there's a radar gun in your face. You saw those guys every pitch. Someone's holding up a radar gun. Things like, it's got to be hard for him to block that out. But he's a dude.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, somebody's asking me today, how he maybe compares to McKinney, and I'm certainly no expert, but it just seems to me, as raw as Brody still is, if he did devote more time to the game, it just seems like maybe he's got a higher ceiling.
Yeah, Keaton was certainly very polished, right? The changeup, I used to call pitches for him, so, it was kind of like playing a video game with Keaton. We throw an outside changeup, we're going inside fastball, we're going to throw a slider away and see you later. Brody's just got that more, a little bit raw, electric stuff, probably a little more athleticism with Brecht, and not that Keaton wasn't a good athlete. He's one of the best pitchers I've ever had the privilege to coach. But Brody is something at the high school level that I've never seen. I know the Wentworth kid is good. He's very polished, but just his ability. Like if he needs to, he can rear back. I don't know if there's a high school kid that if he's going to rear back and throw one by you, I'm not sure you're going to touch it. If he can put it in the right location.
Well, Brody's definitely going to have a big decision to make next month. But he told me after the game that even if he gets drafted, he really wants to finish out the season with his Ankeny team. And I'm sure that's kind of a relief for you to hear that, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I tell him, buddy, I really appreciate that, but we need to do what's best for Brody and Brody's family. And maybe that's go to Iowa. I tell him every day or whenever he asks, he goes, what do you think I should do? I go, I think you should do what you want to do. If going to play football in front of 75,000 people on a Saturday and running out of the tunnel and playing for Kirk Ferentz is what you want to do, then go do that and take care of yourself and continue to refine yourself as a pitcher. And there may be opportunities there likely will be opportunities down the road. I didn't realize the other day, I read an article on him that he only has 100 career innings pitched. Now, if you think about it, I didn't even throw him hardly as a freshman. He was under 10 innings, I think, as a freshman, somewhere in there. In sophomore, we started bringing him up. Last year, we had a shortened season. This year, he's going to have a full season that starts. For a kid with that type of stuff to only have 100 innings on his arm, I mean, they view him as a shiny brand new car right now. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
Especially with that frame and athleticism, he is a special athlete.
Well, you were able to get him out of the game last night for throwing 92 pitches after you guys scored those 6 runs in the top of the 7th inning. You know, he obviously wants to come back and pitch on Monday against Centennial, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Well, your team currently has a 5-game lead over Centennial and Mason City with 6 games left to play, but the Jaguars, you know, they're certainly playing their best ball this season. They've swept a couple of doubleheaders this week, you know, so they're really coming on, aren't they?
Yeah, Mark's got I know he's playing a lot of young guys, and I haven't worked with Mark for so long. You know that a Mark High coach team isn't going to give up, whether that means they're practicing 2 times a day, whatever they've got to do to get better, to bring him along. And they're going to, where they are at the beginning of the year will not be the same place as where they finish the year. They've got a really nice freshman class coming through there, and they've got obviously Okie's up, and the Churchman kids been pitching well for them. So we don't overlook anybody, and you know, we're going to line up to give them our best effort on Monday night, and should be a good doubleheader.
Well, you guys can clinch the league title just by winning one of the 2 games, but I'm sure you'd like to win both of them. You are in a position now where you're closing in on an undefeated conference season. Is that something you guys would like to accomplish, or are you just concerned about, you know, winning the title right now?
We just kind of take it one game at a time. When we got to that 3-5, my message to them was say, how many games over 500 can we get, right? And then we got to 10 games over 500. I go, how many? Now we're 10 over. I go, let's keep pushing it. And really, that's the game. Like, we look at game one. Once we take care of game one, I know it sounds cliche, we'll move on to game two. And I think the biggest thing, like you mentioned even last night, like it was 3-0. And I had Dunwoody ready. Easton's been throwing great for us. Really impressed with him. I kind of wish we had him around last year when we – just to have him and Schley in my back pocket whenever somebody needs to get off the mound.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of challenged the dugout. We have a little saying that I got a throw-down inning, right? How much throw-down do you have in you? Let's stretch this lead and get him off the mound. And that's what you saw. It's somebody – sitting to my left here, let off with a double, and Brody, I can't remember what Brody did. Weston hit one over the road, and all of a sudden we got things rolling again. And just like that, it was a 6-run 7th, and Brody was put Brody in the dugout, put Tommy in the outfield, get Easton on the hill, and everybody gets to rest for Monday. So that was probably of all the things that happened last night, that's probably what I was most happy with, was just their ability to just go extend it.
Well, I think the sub-state groups are supposed to be announced on Friday, you know, but I'm sure you're anxious to find out, you know, what your path to the state tournament will look like. You guys are in a position to get that number one seed when the seedings are determined, you know, and that would allow you to pitch Brody twice in the sub-state game. So you'd have to like your chances no matter who you see in that bracket, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but there's some good teams. I mean, you look at in the top 16 teams, there's some really good teams out there and that have played tough schedules. That other pod of Urbandale, Waukee, Johnston, Dowling, Southeast Polk. I mean, they're just kind of beating up on each other. So you can't really look at their records and say, right, oh, this is it. But, I mean, there's going to be, regardless of your sub-state, there's going to be another good team in there that is going to challenge you. Now, is getting to Brody Brecht a tall task at the high school level? Yeah, I think so. But we still need to make sure, like, offensively, if we can't afford to have an off night, we need to be routine defensively. And, yeah, I mean, that's been the plan the whole time. And that's what we talked about this morning was, okay, you probably put yourself in position is in your own group in top eight. How can we ensure that we get that one seed? And then what does that look like after the fact? And again, it's nice to go Friday by Wednesday. That's the goal, and that's what we plan, and that's why we're one game at a time. Because one game at a time, can you know, we plan to go to 19-6 and 20-6 and 21-22 and just keep grinding. And if we have a misstep along the way, it gives me something to pick on, something to work on at practice the next day.
Well, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I did want to touch on the state tournament briefly, just because this year's event will be played at a different site with a different format. The tournament has been moved to Iowa City, and the Class 4A teams will have to play Thursday, Friday, Saturday this year instead of the usual Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. So that could certainly, you know, put a strain on any team's pitching staff. But I know you've said that you feel like you guys are maybe as well equipped as anybody to handle that, you know, 3 games in 3 days pressure as anybody.
Yeah, first of all, I think that's going to be a great venue for the state tournament. Really cool down there. Obviously, we all love Principal Park and the atmosphere that is down there. But I think that's a fantastic choice or alternative spot done by the state. So tip of the cap to them. And the Thursday, Friday, Saturday thing doesn't really bother me at all. I've talked to you about our depth before from Brody to Weston to Sammy to Willie to Easton and Dylan. And we've still got guys like Ryan Madol and Jacob Smith that could come in and throw and get us out of an inning or a jam at all times. And that, I'm really proud of the depth of our pitching staff. I think that's one thing where, like, if we're not swinging it well, our pitching can hold us for a little bit just while, you know, maybe we need another trip through the lineup to get to that guy. And, you know, that's what we did yesterday in Dodge. We kind of messed around the middle of that first game and then boom. And we've done it other places too. But, yeah, the only thing I think that the Thursday, Friday, Saturday is you can't leave your pony in the stall and wishing you were playing on Friday, right? And really the only option would be is, like, let's say you just go out and put a snowman up on the board in 8 in the first or second inning, and all of a sudden you've got Brody 35 pitches and, you know, Willie can go shut that down or Dylan can go eat 5 innings and
sure.
And we can see. But that'd also be up to Brody. Like, I don't – is heating him up Thursday, Saturday what's best for him? I mean, if you know that kid and the competitor is, he said, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. But I also – getting him off the mound and then – hope to continue to score runs and stuff like that. That would be a tough choice. But I think that's the only scenario in which somebody makes two starts in a Thursday, Friday, Saturday state tournament.
Right, right. Well, the only teams that are currently ranked ahead of you are number 1, Pleasant Valley, number 2, Dowling Catholic, and number 3, Johnston, the defending champion. You know, you guys are obviously very familiar with, you know, all of those teams. And, you know, if the rankings hold up true to form and you make it to the Class 4A semifinals along with those three teams, you know, that'd be a tremendous Final Four, wouldn't it?
Be a good group of four, for sure. It'd be fun. There'd be good pitching and some high levels of offensive play there. All those teams can swing it. I was really impressed with Pleasant Valley when we played them that first weekend. Dowling's a good team. Dowling's with their freshman lefty and their lineup's pretty long from top to bottom. And then Johnston is the group, man. They can swing it and they always seem to find dudes that just go out there on the mound and compete their rear ends off. So, yeah, I mean, that's a good Final Four. Don't sleep on Waukee. If Jackson Wentworth's still around, he's tough, and they're well-coached. Urbandale's in there. They got some high-end players at Urbandale. Hempstead's still there. You know, there's a lot of good teams that were in that state tournament last year. They could very well make their way back. Iowa City's playing at a really high level, too. I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody else, but, yeah.
Do you think your kids would like another opportunity to play Johnston after, you know, the final game last year? We'll ask him in a minute. But.
So I know I've talked to you about this before, but with these guys, we've always talked about as a program, let's take another step. So as a freshman, they played at that Urbandale sub-state final with – they had the Llewellyn kid that was just tough as nails on the – and then so we dropped one there. As sophomores, they blew out Roosevelt at Polk to make our first trip and got beat in the first round. Last year I was like, hey, my goal for all those group – we got to win a game. The program not only needs to get back to state, but we got to win a game at state. and say we've been there and play on multiple days and play at different times, right? So you get around to it. And then they went down there and we won the first two games, two exciting games. Was really proud. And they probably took two steps last year. And really now there's only one more step to take, right? And I don't think anybody's going to be satisfied with anything different. And they show it every day. Like, we got home at midnight last night and we had a little rain delay. So I bumped their practice back to 10. They were here at 10. We went over to the turf. They had a great practice in and out of the cage. That, you know, I give them days off from time to time, but when they're here, they are pushing each other to get better and they feed off of each other and they're great teammates to one another. I'm very, very proud of them.
Well, it should be an exciting rest of the season. I'm looking forward to it. Joe, thanks a lot for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Dan. You do a great job. Appreciate it.
You bet. All right. Well, my next guest is a senior shortstop for the Hawks. He is currently batting .512 with 5 homers, 3 triples, 10 doubles, and 34 RBIs. He is Jace Bauer. Jace, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, good. Well, before we dive into your season a little bit, I just wanted you to briefly compare, you know, this season to last year when you guys had to deal with all of the COVID-19 protocols. Does it seem like things are pretty much back to normal now?
Oh, yeah, I'd say so for sure. You know, obviously the fans, you know, there's a lot more people in the stands, which obviously, like, it helps the atmosphere. And it's fun to play out there. And now you got scouts in the stands. And that's how you spoke. We had like 30 guys behind home plate. So it's definitely a different feel with the stands and stuff like that. And you don't really have to worry about, you know, getting on the bus and stuff like that. So it's good to be back to normal. So
we're also going to talk some football with you because you are headed to Central Michigan in the fall to play a quarterback for the Chippewas. Now, I know a lot of those college football programs really like to get their incoming freshmen onto campus as soon as possible, you know, often in the summertime. But I'm guessing that you really wanted to play this final season of baseball before heading off to Mount Pleasant. So was that something you guys had to negotiate a little bit, or were they pretty cool with you playing this one final season of baseball?
Yeah, they were pretty cool about it. You know, before I committed there, you know, I told them that, you know, the Iowa played baseball in the summer, and, you know, I really wanted to come back and play this final season with my buddies, and they were like encouraging, you know, like they wanted me to do that. Like, yeah, it's awesome. So I'm truly blessed, you know, to be able to, you know, play this final season. And it's been a fun ride, and I can't wait for the rest of the season.
Well, it's obviously working out very well for you. You've just had a great season at the plate. And after you guys won the state football title last fall, did you put in a lot of time in the cage over the summer or over the winter and the spring, because you were running track too?
Yeah. You know, it definitely was, you know, hard balancing, you know, getting in the cage, in track. But, you know, I think we made, you know, the track and baseball guys, I think we did, you know, pretty well balancing it. But yeah, you know, I got in the cage, and it was good. And, you know, I think it's the mental side of hitting is it's bigger than the physical. So I say, you know, I've really got my mind right. And I know, you know, some of my teammates, you know, kind of just like share my knowledge with them, you know, that I've, you know, gained, you know, from sophomore year. I was batting .234, and just kind of mentally just kind of reset. And I think it's done, you know, well, so.
Well, it seems like your mental approach is working, because you don't seem to miss too many pitches or make too many mistakes. I mean, sometimes you see a guy just flail at a pitch occasionally, but you just don't seem to ever have that happen.
No.
Well, I believe Coach had you hitting second earlier in the season, but you've now settled into that leadoff spot. Do you like being that guy to kind of set the tone for everybody else?
Oh, yeah, I do. I think we were just kind of, you know, looking for that guy, you know, that'd be willing to do that. And I'd love, you know, growing up, I would always play, you know, bat leadoff. So, you know, whatever I can do to help the team win and be successful, you know, I'll do it. And I love the leadoff spot, you know, get things started. So, yeah.
Well, with Brody and Weston hitting behind you, I don't imagine, you know, too many teams are going to pitch around you. They can't really afford to, can they?
No, we got a dangerous lineup, you know, throughout, so.
Well, I mentioned your offensive numbers earlier, and you do have 5 home runs after hitting just one a year ago. Do you think you're just that much stronger now, or have you been looking to drive the ball more?
You know, I'd say it's a little bit of both. You know, I've definitely been thinking more, you know, opposite field. And if they pitch me anything inside, you know, I'll turn on it. But, you know, like my 2 of my home runs, I think this year, you know, have been to opposite field. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I don't think that'd be, you know, possible with my approach going up there. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, obviously I've gained some strength as well. But, you know, I'm really just looking up to hit ball square and, you know, let everything else, you know, fall into place. You know, just some of them have been happening to go out, so.
Well, last night's doubleheader, you hit a two-run homer in the sixth inning of the first game to give you guys a 17-6 lead. And then two batters later, Weston hit another two-run shot for his second home run of the game. And then later in the seventh inning of the night game, he just absolutely crushed another home run. And we talked with Coach about the monster year that Weston is having. Did you know that he was capable of putting up those type of numbers?
Yes. You know, I see him in the cage all the time, and he just hits the ball so hard. It's insane to watch. You know, that home run last night, I don't think I've seen a ball hit that far in my life. It was just like I lost it and like, into the darkness, you know, as it went over the fence. But yeah, he's a great hitter. You know, I've known since we've grown up that he has so much power. And you know, like as we were, you know, growing up a little bit, he was, you know, his struggles with the off speed. But you know, he got it figured out. And he's just absolutely crushing the ball right now.
Well, Jace, both you and Brody were recently named Ankeny Fanatics all-time Ankeny baseball team. And I don't know how familiar you are with the history of the program, but we were talking with Coach earlier about how this team would compare with some of Ankeny's other great teams, like those 04 and 05 squads. I'm sure you'd put up your squad against any of them, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, especially when you have a guy like Brody on the mound. He had another great outing last night. He took a no-hitter into the sixth inning before Christian Davidson lined a single into left field with two outs. And that hit was kind of in your vicinity, but yeah. There really wasn't much that you could do, was there?
Yeah, I was kind of bummed about it, you know, because, you know, sometimes you get lulled to sleep out there a little bit. You know, with Brody, he's just mowing down guys. I mean, 14 Ks. I mean, this is like you're almost shocked when they hit the ball. And I think Fort Dodge, you know, their dugout, they're just as shocked when someone hits the ball too. But you know, if I could have it again, I'd probably take a better, you know, mental approach before that pitch. You know, maybe, you know, be able to make a play and get him the no hitter. But, I told Brody I was sorry, but it is what it is. So,
oh yeah. Well, you talked about Fort Dodge's reaction to making contact. I mean, when the first batter of the game hit that line drive, they acted like, you know, he hit a triple or something.
I know. Yeah. Cheering for contact.
Well, we talked earlier with Coach about Brody's draft status, and we also talked about how some of the MLB scouts, you know, are starting to take notice of you, you know, and your potential as a baseball player. Have you been getting much, you know, feedback from them? Do you think there's a chance you could get drafted?
I'm not really sure. I mean, Ball Vance, you know, Coach Ball Vance, he's talked to me a little bit about it, how there's a possibility that I might, you know, get drafted. But, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, right now I'm just focusing on, you know, playing with my buddies, you know, just having a good time and enjoying it. But one thing, you know, obviously if I don't get drafted, I'll be like, thinking about playing baseball at Central Michigan. You know, they got a pretty good program. You know, they did pretty good in a regional. You know, just lost to Notre Dame, I think. But yeah, they're a pretty good program, and that's a decision I'm going to have to make. You know, whether I'm going to want to, you know, keep continuing baseball, which is, you know, it's a possibility, but it's something I, you know, have to decide. So.
Well, yeah, you're obviously committed to Central Michigan, but I mean, if a team was willing to draft you and give you a nice signing bonus, I mean, you have to listen, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Jace, you guys are really rolling right now and are clearly going to be one of the favorites to win the state title. You know, if you could cap off your career with another state championship, how do you think this one would compare to the one in football?
It'd definitely be, you know, it's been a long road, you know, for all of us. I guess, you know, we've been playing, you know, on the varsity level, you know, some of us since we're freshmen. Like Coach Ballman said, we've been taking, you know, steps, you know, every year. And, you know, this year and this group of seniors, I know, like, this one, you know, win a state championship, you know, that's the only way we want to go out. But we're not thinking about that right now. We're just, you know, having, you know, enjoying each other, you know, playing games, winning games. But yeah, you know, we're really looking forward, you know, to this playoff run. And, you know, to compare it to football, I think it'd be just as sweet, you know, even more sweeter. You know, just the atmosphere, I think, will be different. You know, there'll be more people there. You know, where football, there was, you know, only 250 people. But yeah, no, we're looking forward to this run, and it'd just be just as great, you know, getting that state title.
Well, yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Well, Jace, thanks a lot for coming in today. Appreciate it. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office. Call 515-964-5952 or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, my next guest is a realtor at Coldwell Banker, and he's been on the podcast before. Let's welcome back Andy Logan. He's on the phone. Andy, how you doing?
Hey, great, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, I think the last time I talked to you, you know, the housing business or housing industry was still kind of crazy. There wasn't a lot of houses out there on the market. You know, has anything changed with that?
You know what? It's still as crazy as it was. Not a whole lot of inventory, and as soon as something comes on, it's moving.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Now with we're not totally out of the woods with COVID yet, but you know, things are starting to look a lot better, obviously. I mean, has that changed with the amount of people that are looking for homes?
You know what, I do think it has loosened up our market a little bit, and we're starting to see a few more listings pop up, and I think that has to do with the loosening up of the COVID also, definitely.
All right. Well, what else have you been doing this summer? You been playing any golf?
I've been chasing kids around the golf course and baseball fields, you bet.
Yeah, well, good for you. Well, what properties are keeping you busy these days? Is there anything that you want to promote right now?
Hey, absolutely. MJ Properties, one of the best builders in Ankeny, if not the best. Fantastic quality, have single family, multifamily, townhomes. We have a new area called Centennial Estates. That is a fantastic area that is just really getting kicked off.
That must be up north, huh?
It is. It is north, yep. It's just in between 36th and 18th Street, and it's a great location, a lot of natural area where you don't back to anything.
All right. Well, if people are interested or want to start looking for a new place, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Hey, absolutely. They can get me at andy.logan@cbdfm.com or my phone, 515-979-4494.
All right. Well, we're actually recording today in the MJ Properties office. We're back doing the podcast in the office now, Andy. So the next time we have you on, we'll try to get you in the office. I know you're kind of tied up or tight on time today, but appreciate you taking a couple minutes.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. It's always a fun time, and love talking about MJ.
All right. Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, Dan.
Yep.
Have a great day.
You too. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, my final guest today is the head coach of the 11th-ranked Ankeny Centennial softball team. He has guided the Jaguars to a 20-7 record, including a 10-4 mark in the CIML Iowa Conference. He is Brett Delaney. Brett, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Hey, pretty good. Thanks for having me on today.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on an outstanding season thus far. You guys reached the 20-win mark last night with a doubleheader sweep over visiting Marshalltown, so that's 3 years in a row now that you've reached that milestone. That's a nice accomplishment, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, that's a testament to the girls and all the hard work that they've put in. And it starts in the fall with the Jags Elite program run by Coach Whiteside, and then it continues on in the spring. And it's just that hard work that the girls put in that's made them so successful here the last few years.
Well, it's hard to believe that you guys have already played 27 games, because it seems like the season just started, but you've already had 6 games this week, and you have 4 more on tap for Friday and Saturday. So I guess, you know, those games add up pretty quickly when you have a schedule like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's a night-in, night-out type of thing. We're very fortunate in the CIML that we get to play doubleheaders and get a random night off here and there. But it's one of those things where it starts during the school year and it just goes, and next thing you know, pairings are coming out, and then it's the end of the season. And before you blink, those 40 games are up, and then it's state tournament time.
Well, this year's team returned most of your pitchers from last year, and you also returned several of your position players. You've also added a couple of talented newcomers and freshmen, Peyton Drefke and Addie Starr. It seems like this team has really come together well, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, you know, these girls have gelled. We were led by our 9 seniors, and it was a special night for them last night, being senior night. We celebrated senior night a little bit early. We had a senior leaving to go to boot camp, going to join the Navy, Kaylin Quam. And so we celebrated our seniors last night and gave them the opportunity. But, you know, this group's led by them, and some of them are on the field all the time, and others of them are in their different roles. And we're just very fortunate to have the players that we do and the cohesiveness that we've had. And they are starting to gel, and we're still finding out different things about them. But they're an exciting group, and they like to have a little fun along the way.
Well, you guys have used 5 different pitchers this season. They've all had success. Lauren Gustafson is currently 6-0 with a 1.64 ERA, and senior Sam Klug is 6-4 with a 2.56 ERA, and she has a team-high 81 strikeouts. But last night, it was 2 of your other seniors, Jenna Wendt and Maggie Fisher, who got the wins on senior night. They combined to allow just 1 run in the 2 games. So you obviously have confidence in all of your pitchers. That's a good thing to have as you head toward the postseason, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, coming into the season, we knew we'd have depth up at the top of our rotation with 3 seniors coming back. And we knew Lauren was coming, along with Jaden, that are both sophomores for us, and we're excited about the future there. But we knew we were going to be led by our 3 seniors, and they've stepped up anytime that we've put them in the circle. And We're just excited for them to continue to help push us along and make that state tournament run. And it's going to be a thing where we're going to need all of them. If one of them's not clicking, we have the ability to go to someone else. And I guess that's a very fortunate thing to have right now with our team and in the competition that we play in a night out. So it's just a testament to them and all the hard work that they've put in. Pitching's not an easy place to be. With a little girl at home learning how to do it, it takes a lot of work, and those girls have put in the time, and it's showing off, and it's paying off. And two of them are going to continue on and play at the next level, and all three of them had the ability to take that opportunity if they wanted it.
Well, then at the plate, you've had a number of different kids step up this season. Drefke's hitting .489, and a few other regulars like Mackenzie James, Sidney Morris, Morgan Seversyke, and Starr are all hitting .375 or above. And Ella Schultz leads the team with 4 homers and 21 RBIs. So it's really been a team effort, hasn't it?
Yeah, you know, it has been a team effort, and it's one where I'm not sure we've had the same hitting lineup 2 games in a row very often, and it's just one where the girls are continuing to push each other and make each other better. And, you know, whether we're asking them to get a base hit or lay a sacrifice bunt down, they're all willing to get the job done and find ways to do it. And, you know, they're enjoying their time, and some of them are new to the lineup and some of them have been around for a while. And I think they're feeding off each other and learning from each other. And that's one of the challenges that we pose to them, is just learn and help teach each other the game and learn from the person ahead of us. And that's one way we've been growing here throughout the season.
Well, you guys were in the thick of the conference race until earlier this week when you lost a pair of 1-run games up at number 1 Fort Dodge. The Dodgers now lead you by 3 games with just 6 games left to play, and it seems unlikely that they would lose that many of their remaining games with the schedule that they have. You know, I'm sure the focus now for you guys is to get ready for the postseason, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, we went up to Fort Dodge on Monday and played an excellent group out of Fort Dodge. And just came up a little bit short. We had leadoff runners on in 4 different innings in that first game and facing one of the best pitchers, if not the best pitcher in the state of Iowa, and just didn't get those opportunities that we needed to get those runs in. A couple random calls that were called maybe prevented a run or two in that game, but you know what? We're right there, and we're proven that we can play with the best in the state. And so, yeah, we're excited about those things. Even with losses, I think we can take a lot away, and we learned a lot from that. And it's just going to allow them to grow and continue to know that they can play with the best, and they are the best in the state.
Well, I was up there last night for the 4 Dodge doubleheader against the Ankeny teams, and boy, they really took it to the Hawkettes. That's a team that you just don't have much margin for error against, because if you make a mistake, they're going to make you pay, don't they?
Yeah, you know, they're led by their senior or their junior pitcher in the circle and their senior catcher, and yeah, they're just solid, and it's one where you have to take advantage of opportunities they give you, and you can't give them any extras, and you've got to be prepared at all times until the ball's ready for that next pitch, because she's going to be aggressive and coaching those girls, and she gets the best out of them. And you know, it's an exciting opportunity to get the opportunity to play them 4 times throughout the year, and hopefully the next time that we get to see them is in the state title game.
Now, do you know when the regional groupings or pairings are going to be announced?
At the beginning of the season, they told us it was supposed to be this week, hopefully today, Thursday, the 24th or the 25th. If I had to guess here in the next 24 hours, hopefully they're going to come out for us and see where we're headed.
Well, you guys are currently ranked 11th, and I don't know if you'll move up any this week or not, but I'm sure you'd like to get up into one of those top 8 spots, because if you could do that, that might get you one of those number one seeds, right?
Yeah, you're always hoping to be in that top 8 when the pairings come out, but you never know what the association is going to do down there. So we're just kind of waiting around to see where we're going. If I had to guess right now, I'm going to guess maybe a home game for that first round game, and then head on the road for the finals to get to the state tournament, if I had to throw out an educated guess right now. But you never know what's going to happen, and hopefully we get the opportunity to move up this week, but we'll just kind of wait and see.
Well, you've said before that Fort Dodge is a team that you'll have to beat in order to win a state title, and like I said, they certainly looked that good last night. They did lose in their tournament on Saturday, though, in the championship game to Muscatine, and that's a team that you're also familiar with. You beat them in last year's third-place game at state, so that's another team that's obviously playing very well.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of teams over there on the eastern side of the state that you have to give credit to, and you've got Muscatine, you've got Pleasant Valley, you've got Iowa City High, who's coming to town this weekend. You have Cedar Rapids Kennedy, and I think I'm missing one more. That there's some teams over there that can play too, and ultimately the CIML is what we think is the best conference in the state. And it, night in and night out, you know it's going to be a grind. So we're going to be ready. I think some of us CIML people are going to have to go over to that eastern side of the state and win a regional over there to get to the state tournament, but that's okay.
Well, you mentioned the CIML. Of course, Johnston and Waukee are traditionally strong programs. They're both highly ranked as well. I mean, it looks like this year's state tournament field could be one of the deepest ever.
Yeah, you know, it's just a grind. In Central Iowa, probably the best softball that you're going to see. And so, yeah, it's going to be a deep field. I mean, you have Fort Dodge, you have Johnston, you have Waukee. Valley's playing well. Southeast Polk's playing really well. And then you have those teams out of the eastern side of the state. So, you know, if you get up there, you're one of the best. And it's going to be a grueling fight up there to get to that state title game. But hopefully we're there, and hopefully we can show that everybody that we can do it.
Well, no, you don't want your girls to look too far ahead because you still have a lot of games left to play. You will play four games in the Brent Pryor Classic this weekend, assuming that the weather holds off. One of them will be against number 7, Iowa City High. You mentioned that they're coming to town. That'll be a good test for you.
Yeah, you know, we're excited. One, it's a new competition for us. It's someone that we haven't seen very much of and only heard just a little bit about and reading a little bit of stats on them. So, yeah, we're excited to see them. We're excited to see Esterville, Lincoln Central come to town, along with Ballard and Urbandale. So, yeah, it's going to be a good weekend for us. Hopefully that weather holds off. I'm actually, after I get done with this interview, headed to put the tarps on the field. So hopefully we can preserve a couple games tomorrow.
You must have had some interesting weather the other night against Urbandale because you got delayed for a while and then you had to shut down at the end, right?
You know, I'm not sure ever. Somebody wanted us to play that game. That game actually started May 28th. We had a freak accident where an umpire took a ball to the chest and we had to pause that game. And so we came back Tuesday night and I think we got a half inning in and the skies opened up. So we had to take a 30-minute break and then we came back from our 30-minute break, finished that first game, got into that second game, and you could just see the weather was rolling in. And actually, we made it through just 6 innings in that game before we had to call that game in the 7th. So we were fortunate to get it in, but for some reason, they didn't want us to get it in that night, it looked like.
Well, then on Monday night, your team will travel across town for the doubleheader rematch against Ankeny. You guys split a twin bill earlier this month, and I'm sure your girls are looking forward to that one. It seems like you and Coach Bingham, you always seem to have these wild back-and-forth games, don't you?
Yeah, you know, Coach Bingham always puts out a good quality team over there, and I think it's just that crosstown rivalry. Everybody's up for it. These girls have played softball together their whole life, some of them on teams with each other in the fall and the springtime, and it's just it's a unique opportunity, in-town team that you get to not have to travel very far for, and it's kind of exciting to go over there and play him. And Coach and I are friends off the field, but on the field we try to go after each other as best we can, and normally it's a good fight. For 14 innings that night.
Well, it should be an exciting rest of the season. I'm looking forward to it. Well, Coach, thanks for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. Really appreciate their time. We had Ankeny baseball coach Joe Balvans and one of his senior star players, Jace Bauer. We also had Ankeny Centennial softball coach Brett Delaney, and we also visited with Coldwell Banker realtor Andy Logan. I appreciate the time from all those gentlemen. We'll come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.